give you praise, oh God. We thank you, oh God, mighty, mighty, mighty God. Blessed be the name above every. Praise God. Wonderful moving of the Spirit of God in the house already today. Beautiful presence of God. The promise of God is with us in the midst. God is true to his word, and every promise in the book belongs to his people today. We're glad if you're a guest and you've come to be with us on a Sunday morning. We want you to make yourself at home. This presence of God is for you. This moving of the Spirit of God is for you. This altar belongs to you. You make yourself at home in what God does in the house today. Praise God. Let's clap our hands, lift our voices, and give God a shout of praise. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Could we give him a little high praise? How we magnify you, Jesus. Oh, worthy, 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 worthy. We praise your name, oh God. Praise God. Love what God is doing. Appreciate so much the presence of God. We're thrilled and delighted to have Brother Jacob Phillips in the house with us today. We've not been together in church like this before, but he travels in a lot of the same circles. He's now residing there in South Haven and attending the church where Brother Nathaniel Urshan is pastoring. And he moves in a lot of the same circles that some of you do, and some of our favorite people are friends of his. He cut his teeth on apostolic doctrine and was raised up in a house full of ministry. And we are excited to have a new voice and a new influence in the house today. And I'm so glad that he was able to make time to come and be with us. And today we want him to come, and whatever the Holy Ghost tells him, we want him to preach. Is that how you feel today? Somebody yell at him and just say, "You preach to me, preacher."
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. While you're clapping your hands one more time, why don't you turn that into Psalms 47 and one hand clap and lift your voice with a shout. Somebody give God some glory in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You have your Bibles, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. While you're turning there, let me say it is such an honor to be here today. I give honor to Bishop Sutton and his family. You know, when I talk to my pastor and my pastor says that man is a voice in my life, I tend to try to hold on to those kind of people. So, Brother Sutton, you're in a bind now, because I know how to get a hold of somebody like a leech and just hold on to them. Hey, man, if you're a voice in my pastor's life, that sounds like the kind of man that needs to be a voice in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this is the first service I've ever been here, and what typically tends to happen is I come in here and I watch you and you watch me, and we just have watch night service, and nothing gets accomplished. But how about this? You're apostolic. I'm apostolic. Now, since all the watching's over, let's just have church. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Again, thank you, Pastor Sutton and Brother Collins, for the open invitation. I am so glad and honored to be here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Raiathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. When the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all of her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb. If the Lord will help me today, I want to preach from a very simple topic: barren but still blessed. Barren but still blessed. Would you help me right now one more time by lifting your voice? God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you today. God, we give you glory and honor, praise, thanksgiving. Lord, there's nobody like you in heaven or on earth. You're the first, you're the last, you're the everlasting, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the Almighty. I'm asking you, Lord, right now, let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through this house. We know you're here because we can feel you, but I'm asking you, God, let the anointing destroy a yoke off of somebody's life in here today. God, we pray that liberty would be in this house, for you said, who the Son is set free is free indeed. And we thank you for freedom in this place today, in Jesus' name. One more time, would you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. You may be seated as long as you promise to help me preach. If you're not going to help me, you please remain standing so everyone knows who you are. Hallelujah. One thing I want to draw out on the onset of what I'm going to say today is that this woman, Hannah, is not the first woman that has ever been listed or connected to the word barrenness. She is not the first, but rather the fourth woman that has been called barren. We see that there is Sarah, and then Rebecca, her daughter-in-law, and then we have Rachel, which is Rebecca's daughter-in-law. And then from there, we jump and we find that there is Hannah. Elkanah, from what we can find and study, was a man of great power. Some people seem to believe he was some type of a political force of that day. He had some kind of political strength. He knew his way around the world. And so it is that a man with that kind of stature, it is customary in Bible times that he would be a man that had many children. And that's not just a cultural thing, but the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 127 that children are an inheritance of the Lord. And so in all of this, we see that he has a woman, a wife that is barren. Her name is Hannah. And the Bible mentions that his other wife, Peninnah, has children, but Hannah has no children. And I'm not going to take the time to read it all to you today. I'll give you a little homework. You can go home and read it. But we can see that Peninnah was the type of woman that would try to be a thorn in the flesh of Hannah, constantly hailing the insults. Look at you. You're not productive. You cannot give Elkanah any children. Peninnah torments her. You're not anything like I am. Look at how blessed I am. Look at how productive I am. But what Peninnah did not understand is that Elkanah went to Peninnah for children, but he went to Hannah for company. I'm going to let that sink in there for a second. Because what we tend to believe and what we so many times get to our point in our walk with God is because I'm not productive, that must mean that God does not care about me. But I am here to tell you today that I would rather be preferred than productive any day of the week. I would rather have the favor of God on my life than all of the money in the world, because favor is still better than finance. Favor's still better than anything that this world has to offer. You can take this whole world, but just give me Jesus. I come to preach to somebody in Birmingham on a Sunday morning and tell you that the enemy's trying to do his best to try to get you to back up and try to get you to quit because you haven't been productive like everybody else. But what you need to do is leave this house today and let the devil know, I might not be productive yet, but I'm preferred.
I might not, God help me, Jesus, I might not be where I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I've been preferred by God Almighty. I got the anointing of God on my life. I've got the hand of God on my life. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today that if you'll let him, the devil will convince you to just sit there on your pew because you're going through a season of barrenness and don't worship and don't do anything. Don't move because you're barren. But you, let me tell you something, Hannah. You got to be thankful in your barren season. You got to learn how to shout when everything's going wrong. You got to learn how to give God glory when the bills are stacking up on the kitchen table. I know you're not productive, but you're still preferred. He still thought enough of you to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He still thought enough of you to bring you to an apostolic church. Hallelujah. He said, you're a chosen generation. Look at somebody and tell them, I might not be productive, but I'm preferred. Hallelujah. Can I just preach like I'm at home today? It'd be all right if I just take my time like I'm at home. Never gonna make a difference in your world. Look at you. You've been going to that same apostolic church for the last 5 years, and you ain't done nothing yet. I'm still preferred. And I'm not giving you a license today to sit on your pew and do nothing. I'm not giving you a license to sit on your pew and say, well, I'm going to let pastor do it. I'm going to let bishop do it. I'm going to let them handle all the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that there are times in our walk with God that we cannot feel God. I'm here to tell you. I've been doing this long enough to tell you that there are some valleys you got to walk through that are the valley of the shadow of death. There's some places that you're going to have to go that they don't feel good. They're uncomfortable. It doesn't feel like God's even within a million miles away. It feels like God has forsaken you and walked away. But Hannah, you got to remember when you're walking through that trial and walking through that test that he thought enough of me to die for me. And if he thought enough of me to die for me, he's not going to leave me. He said it in the book of Exodus, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you even until the end of the world. I'm telling somebody today that's sitting on an apostolic pew and you feel barren, you hold on, baby, because there's coming a time of productivity. You may be barren right now, but the day's going to come that God's going to hook you up with an Eli and he's going to say, about the time of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You just keep doing what you're doing. You keep coming to church and worshiping. You keep paying your tithes. You keep shouting when it's time to shout. You keep praying when it's time to pray. You keep giving God your best praise. You just keep giving God everything you got, because what you don't understand is while I'm not making men happy, I'm still making God happy. Don't you worry about what people say and what people think. They're not your savior. They didn't die for you. They didn't hang on a tree for you. I'm doing this because it makes God happy. If you think I shout the way I do just to get you to like me, then baby, you're off your rocker. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, it doesn't matter what situation I'm in, something happens in my soul and it begins to shout because I can't hold my peace. I can't be quiet because God has been too good to me. Let me tell you something, Hannah. There's always going to be a Penina that comes to church with you and wants to sit there and talk about your worship. It's simple, I know it is, but it's what the Holy Ghost gave me. There's always going to be a Penina there to be a thorn in your flesh. Let me just tell you something. The bigger vision you got, the more haters you're going to have. But I'm not going to let my haters dictate my happiness. My haters won't dictate my hope. My haters are not going to come between me and God. You can say what you want to say, but at the end of the day, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God's been good to me. Hey,
my Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody right now that's fighting with a spirit of doubt that's setting on you, telling you that you've done past your time of blessings. You're not past your time of blessings. You're not even to it yet. You're just walking through a season of barrenness. But even though you're barren, I'm telling you, if you'll stay thankful, if you'll keep on praising, if you'll keep on giving God glory, it's all going to turn around and it's going to work out for your good.
Hallelujah. Can I preach a little bit today? What makes Hannah so ironic is the fact, again, that she's not the first person that's ever had to deal with this. She's not the first person that's ever been barren. Now, I'm just going to hurt your feelings. You ready? I know you feel like what you're going through is worse than what everybody else is going through in the church right now, but you're not the first person to go through this. You're not the first person that's had to deal with loneliness. You're not the first person that's ever had to deal with depression. I'm sure if you gave Bishop Sutton enough time, he could stand in this pulpit for days and weeks and years on end and talk about the people that he counseled that have went through stuff that's worse than what you've been through. Oh, help me, Jesus. She's not the first person to deal with this, but what makes her different is she doesn't deal with it like everybody else does. You see, Sarah was barren, and Sarah got the handmaiden involved. She tried to go around God. Rachel was barren, and Rachel got the handmaiden involved, but not Hannah. Hannah don't let what people think or say dictate what she does. She just keeps on walking through it and staying thankful. Sarah says, I'll just go get somebody else and I'll live my life through them. If I can receive the promise through somebody else. But you see, Sarah, if you don't experience it for yourself, you never know what true laughter is going to be like, because you'll never experience Isaac. I'm telling somebody that if you keep trying to pass the miracle off to somebody else instead of walking through the barrenness, you're never going to experience the true joy of the Lord. Well, I just let so-and-so do it because they're more qualified. Yeah, but God didn't call them to do that. God called you to do that. The pastor asked you to do it. It doesn't matter if you're barren right now. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. Rachel's barren. Rachel tries to go around God and gets the handmaiden involved. But what she doesn't understand is if she keeps doing that, she's never going to experience a Joseph who's going to be bound and go to Egypt. And when the time comes and the famines hit the land, there ain't going to be anybody to deliver his brethren. If you keep trying to go around God, you're going to keep skipping out on your miracle. If you keep trying to take it in your own hands, you're going to keep missing out on what God has for you. I know you're in a barren season, but just stay thankful. God's going to bless you. God's going to take care of it. God's going to work it out. God's going to make a way, even when there is no way. Hallelujah. I want to drive this point home today, is the fact of the matter that Hannah never stopped doing what she was doing. Bishop Sutton, she never quit going to church. The Bible says that every year she was right there beside Elkanah. And let me just tell you something. Hannah would go to church, but Penina went to church too. Don't you think for a moment that the spirit you're dealing with won't come to you and sit on your shoulder the entire time you're in the house of the Lord. Don't you think for a moment that the devil's not going to show up and try to get in between your ears and try to confuse everything that comes across the pulpit. But I come to tell somebody today, the devil's still a liar. I said the devil's still a liar. He'll do everything he can to try. Well, you know what? Hannah went to prayer meeting and Penina went to prayer meeting. Hannah went to the front of the church and Penina went to the front of the church. Hannah went to give her sacrifice and Penina went to give her sacrifice. And she was there the whole time. Look at you. You're still not productive. You're still not productive. But baby, I'm still blessed and I'm still preferred. And my Lord, I'm telling somebody today, it's better to be chosen and childless than fruitful and forgotten any day of the week. I'm
still here, devil. You thought you were going to grow me up, throw me off. You thought you were going to bring me out of the house of God just because of some barrenness, but I'm still here, and I still got my worship, and I still got my praise, and God's going to turn it around and work it out.
You got to learn how to give God glory even when you don't feel like it. You got to learn, Hannah, how to just keep going to church and just keep praising the name of the Lord. Well, preacher, you don't know what I feel. Well, we can read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 19, and it'll tell you a couple things. The Bible says that she was provoked. She wept. She did not eat. She had sorrow. She was grieved. She was bitter. She was afflicted, and she was accused. These are all emotions that I'm preaching to somebody. I know I'm not preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to somebody right now that's dealing with some of this stuff. But can I tell you that being provoked didn't stop her praise, and her weeping didn't stop her worship, and the sorrow couldn't stop her shout? Oh, come on, somebody. The bitterness that she was dealing with in her heart didn't stop her from blessing the name of the Lord. And she was accused, but that didn't stop her from giving accolades to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She had something in her spirit that says, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's never been about what I'm in. It's about that the glory of God would be revealed in my heart. The glory of God would be revealed in what I'm going through. I'm dealing with pain, but I'm going to praise him in the pain. I'm dealing with hurt, but I got a hallelujah in the middle of the hurt. I'm fighting all hell in my family, but that ain't going to stop me from going back to the house of God and giving God my best, because he is still worthy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you get the handmaid involved. Just keep doing what you're doing. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. But you hear this preacher today that came all the way from Mississippi to tell somebody God's going to work it out if you'll just keep worshiping. God's going to make a way if you keep on finding a way to give him glory.
Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you what, when we, and I believe we are in an apostolic church today, fully and totally, completely, but when we set an atmosphere in our personal life where it's easy for us to understand that barrenness is not my final destination, it's at that point that babies start showing up out of nowhere. When we create an atmosphere on the job that when everything goes wrong, we can hold on to the desk and just give him about 15 seconds of our best praise. Hey, help me, Jesus. When things go wrong at school and we go into our own little place and find a place to worship, that's when people start taking, hey, all hell's breaking loose. They got something I want, because all hell's breaking loose in their life, and they're still praising and they're still giving God glory and they're still thanking the name of the Lord. They should be sitting down crying and complaining, but this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and I'm not going to let some problem, some barrenness, some situation I'm dealing with, it's not going to take it from me.
I learned how to be thankful in my barrenness, and even though I'm hurt, I learned how to get happy.
When you learn how to be thankful in your barrenness, you feel forsaken, but even in your forsakenness, you learn how to be fruitful when you just learn how to stay thankful. I almost nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But something in me wouldn't let me stop giving God glory. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that one of the signs of the end time is going to be that men are unthankful. God, don't let that be me. Hannah, hold on. Because in your barrenness, I'm going to bless you like nobody else has ever been blessed before. We see this exact scenario played out with Jacob and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel, but Rachel was barren also. And we see that she started bartering over some roots because she never got the revelation that at the end of the day, Jacob loves me. You see, She's fighting a fight that she doesn't have to fight. When she would just stop and say, hey, I'm chosen. Stop using all your energy to fight the devil on areas you don't have to fight him in. There's an old saying that says, choose your battles. That's what you need to do. You need to figure out, hey, I don't have to wonder. I don't have to fight this battle. Am I loved by God? I know I'm loved by God. I'm chosen. He called me. He convicted me. He brought me to the house of God. And this is what makes Hannah so powerful. Because while Rachel never got that revelation, and Sarah never got the revelation. You see, Sarah starts working around. She gets worried. She has a child through her handmaiden. And then when her time finally comes, she only has one child. Rebecca only has two children. Rachel does the same thing, and she only has two children. But Hannah, you're not just going to have Samuel, but I'm going to bless you with five more children when you learn how to be thankful in your barrenness. I'm telling somebody today that if you'll just keep a Hannah spirit, God will bless you like nobody else has ever been blessed that's went through what you're going through. You're complaining and you're crying about what you're going through, but what you don't understand is God setting you up for a five-time greater miracle through this barrenness. God's setting you up. Hey, I lost a little bit, but I'm coming back stronger than I ever was. I had to go through some trial and I had to go through some test, but I'm coming back with a greater anointing than I've ever had before because I learned how to be grateful in my barrenness. You see, there's a lot of people, Pastor Sutton, that I've learned, I've watched, and they have everything they need to make it. But they don't make it because they get a relationship not with God, but they get a relationship with God's stuff. And so their shout is depicted on their stuff. As long as I've got money in the pocket and joy and peace of mind, you say, well, you're not being very evangelistic today. I'm trying to show somebody that you can have joy in the middle of the hell you're breaking into. See, it comes to a place in our walk with God a lot of times if it's not, everything's just right. I love this church. I don't even know y'all yet. But I looked out across here and people were shouting and dancing and talking in tongues. I said, this is my kind of place right here. It's not depicted by what I have. It's because of who he is. And because of who he is, I can give him glory. In spite of what my stuff is not going to stop my shout. I refuse to be so spiritually immature that when I have a battle come my way, I can't pray. I refuse to be so spiritually immature that when things start getting a little bumpy, I start wanting to skip out on church. I'm helping somebody right now. I don't even know who you are, but I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I know what God sent me with. Again, I know this is simple. We'll talk deeper tonight. But I'm telling you today that you got to get a revelation of who you are and who he is and understand at the end of the day, it's not about my money. It's not about my family. It's not about my friends. It's not about who came to see what and who came to see who. It's about Jesus Christ, him crucified, and to him be all the glory. And if I can ever get the revelation that I am his child and he is my father, then I can understand that this barrenness is not forever, and I can praise him in my barrenness and give him glory in my test. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how one woman changed the entire Bible. This woman, Hannah, learning how to be thankful in her barrenness changed the entirety of the Bible. Say, well, how'd that happen? Because she had a son when the time came, and she took him to the house of God. When she got him to the house of God, she surrendered him. She left him there, and this young man by the name of Samuel becomes one of the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament. He grows up. He's anointing kings. He anoints the first king of Israel. That king starts doing some dumb stuff, for lack of a better term. And so God speaks to him and says, you go down to Jesse's house. Help me, Jesus. And you anoint another king. And so the Bible says he takes a heifer, And he walks down to Jesse's house and he says, I'm here to anoint a king. And he says, all right, bring me your sons. And so Eliab walks in and he said, surely the Spirit of the Lord's on him. This is the guy. He looks like a king. He walks like a king. He's strong like a king should be. He's tall like a king should be. And the Lord pricks his heart and says, don't you remember that I look upon the heart? And all of a sudden he starts having flashbacks of the stories that he's heard. I'm looking for something that's productive, but God doesn't want something productive. He wants something preferred. He says, he starts thinking about the story of how his mama was chosen over Peninnah. He said, well, maybe I should look a little bit further. And from then on, you don't see God have to prick him anymore. The second guy comes in, he says, that ain't him. He looks like a king too. He's strong. He's everything a king should be, but that's not him either. The third guy comes in. That can't be him either. I know he's productive, but he's not preferred. I know he looks like what you think a king should be, but that's not him. And he goes all the way down through seven brothers, and he says, do you have anybody else? And he says, well, yeah, one more. But he ain't much to look at. He's ruddy. For lack of a better term for McNary County, we just say he's a shrimp, man. He ain't got much to him. He ain't been eating his beans and taters. So we just stick him out there, and he watches the sheep. And he said, you bring him in anyway. And the moment he comes in, he sees something. It's not productive. He hasn't been doing anything but sitting on the backside of the wilderness watching sheep and playing a harp and writing songs. But there's something about this boy that's preferred. And he says, that's a man that's going to be a man after my own heart. He's not everything I want him to be yet, but that'll come in time. He's preferred right now. Can I tell you, stop trying to be everything God hasn't anointed you to be yet. Just be comfortable in who you are and realize that you are preferred. And we see from that man David comes a lineage of kings that are thankful and glorious. Lord, give glory to God and give praise unto the name of the Lord. And it all happened because one woman learned how to give God praise in the middle of all hell breaking loose. That all happened. It all came around and turned around and worked out for good because one lady, one saint of God that was going through hell said, I'm not going to let this stop me. And we see that David grows up and becomes the king. We know the story, and I'm trying to give you the fast-forwarded version. If you don't like me for anything else, you'll love me for the fact that I'm not long-winded. Somebody said, praise God. We see David grows up and becomes king. And there comes a day that David, realizing who he is and who God is, that the Ark of the Covenant is coming back into the house of the Lord. And the Bible says he strips down to nothing more than a linen ephod. And he's worshiping and he's spattered with blood from a sacrifice of oxen and fatlings. And a woman, his wife, looks out the window and says, oh, how glorious was the king that uncovered himself today. And there's something powerful about this text because of the fact is that the Bible says she hated David. Well, that's interesting because I think it's either 16 or 17 chapters earlier, the Bible says that she loved David. So what's changed? She knew David was a worshiper when she married him. I think David was the kind of guy that you didn't have to guess about. He walked into the church, for lack of a better term, talking in tongues and shouting and doing the watutsi or whatever it is that he did. David come in knowing how to have church. Nothing changed with David. David's always been a worshiper. David's always been a shouter. But now she hates him. You see, the deal is, it's David's not the David he used to be because David doesn't have a crown on anymore. And David doesn't have on a kingly robe anymore. He's taken all of that off. And all of a sudden, she fell out of love with him, not because of who he was, but because of who his stuff was. All of a sudden, she's not happy at David shouting and dancing. And David looks at this woman when she begins to come against him. And she says, all of this stuff. He says, if you think I was crazy today, wait till tomorrow. But there's something that he says here to me that is more powerful than anything else in the world. He said to her in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 21, and David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me before thy father. You know what David was saying? I'm still preferred. I fought hell to get where I'm at. And if you think I'm going to stop shouting now, I remember where God brought me from. David said, it was before the Lord that chose me before your father. He was saying, I remember when I was just a little boy singing to some sheep and smelling all stinky because I was sitting down in a pasture and God chose me. I didn't have it all together, but God chose me. I didn't have a good last name, but he chose me. And baby, if you think I'm going to stop, I just remember I'm preferred. And he gives me something to shout about. Hallelujah. And you find if the musicians will come, I'm almost done, but I ain't done yet. You'll find that this young lady by the name of Michal, the Bible makes special mention. Now she's joining the club. The Bible says from that day forward, she was barren. You want to know why? Because you can't mix pride and praise and be productive. David understood that if I'm going to have a lineage of people that are going to come out of me, that are going to follow after the ways of the Lord, I'm going to have somebody that understands that even in the bad times, you still give him worship. David understood the fact that she might have to walk through a little bit of heartache. We might have to walk through a little bit of pain, but I can't be yoked up with somebody that doesn't understand my praise. I can't be yoked up with somebody that doesn't understand where God brought me from. So you see, you don't know my story, and you don't know what I've been through. So David said, baby, you're going to have to sit over here in the corner because I need somebody that understands when God's been good to you. It doesn't matter if you're productive or not. You're still preferred, and you give him glory, and you give him praise. You know, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. You know how I know this is an apostolic church? Because when I come in the door, there were people shouting. You can't get that. You can't get that in a church that's not preferred. You know how I know you're going to have revival? It's easy. Somebody's learned how to be thankful in their barrenness. And we're 400, 450 people, however many that's here. And we've come together and we've all got problems and we've all got circumstances that we're having to deal with. We're all fighting our own sure piece of hell that nobody else understands and nobody else is getting, but yet we're coming together and giving the name. That's how I know we're going to have revival, because you can't praise God in the middle of barrenness and not get God's attention. He's attracted to when someone worships him. I'm sorry. Bishop Sutton, if you were looking for a Sunday morning preacher, I'm sorry. I never learned how to preach on Sunday morning. I always preached on Sunday night, and I pretend like every night's Sunday night, so just forgive me. I'm just here to tell somebody that somewhere in the middle of what you're going through, you need to realize that my productivity is coming, and the only way it's coming is if I give him praise in my barrenness. I'm going to have a blessing, but the blessing's not coming until I learn how to praise him in the barrenness. I'm going to have my breakthrough, but my breakthrough it's not coming until I learn how. I dare somebody right now that's fighting hell and high water to lift up your head, throw your head back, and give God a shout of praise that says, I might be barren right now, but I'm going to be blessed. You see, there's something that happens. This is just my understanding. Bishop, if I get out of line, you get me. But God is not attracted to your trouble. Trouble doesn't get God's attention. There's trouble everywhere. And God is not paying attention to that. Trouble doesn't bother God. David said, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and he delivered him out of my trouble. He delivered me out of my trouble. See, God's not attracted to your trouble. God's attracted to your cry. David understood that I can sit here in my trouble with my lips sealed and nothing's ever going to become of what I'm in. I can sit here in my trouble and cry and complain to the preacher and tell him, here I am, I'm back at church and nothing's happened. Or I can lift up my voice and begin to... When I cry, he heard me and he delivered me out of my trouble. Just by show of hands, how many got trouble that I dare you right now to just cry? Come on, Hannah. You're dealing with barrenness, but God's got a blessing with your name on it. God's got a breakthrough, and it's got your name on it. Where you at, Hannah? God's looking for somebody that'll praise him in the barrenness. God's looking for somebody that'll shout when everything's going wrong. I know it's Sunday morning and you're used to sitting back and getting a Bible study. But baby, all I come to tell you is when you praise him, your chains will fall off. When you praise him, your fetters will be destroyed. When you praise him, the blessing shows up. Hallelujah. You see, David, my Lord, I'm trying to quit. David knew how to praise him in the barrenness. And we find that in Psalms chapter 150, and I can show you how. He said to praise him on the cymbals, praise him with the string instruments and the organs, praise him on all that stuff. But you see, David knew what it was like to run from Absalom. And David knew what it was like to run from Saul. And when you get the report that Saul and an army of men are fixing to show up, you don't have time to pack up organs. I'm about to preach this. God help me. When you get the word that Absalom's coming in with the mighty men, you don't have time to pack up a drum set and put it on a mule and get out of town. And we see David in the cave of Adullam with nothing left. And he says, let everything that hath breath. You know what David was saying? Right now, I'm a musician and I'm buried. I don't have any music to play. I'm all by myself in a cave out in the middle of nowhere. I'm barren, I'm broken, I'm busted, and I'm disgusted. But baby, I still got my breath. I still got my praise. I still got a worship on the inside. Where you at, David? God's looking for somebody that can shout on Sunday, but on Monday morning when you go to work and all hell breaks loose, you can say, I still got it. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. Somebody ought to praise him.
I'm just a mess with you now.
We doing what we always do right now. I ain't ever been here before, but I can feel this is what we do. This is how we shout. But some of y'all are waiting right now on them to play your favorite song and give you your favorite beat. But Hannah, sometimes when you're in barrenness, you all by yourself and you don't have a musician to play for you.
And so you got to link up with David and say, let everything that have breath. They gonna play here in a minute. But I wish you take about 3 minutes and give God your best praise without the beat of the drum, without somebody singing, without your favorite song. Come on, Hannah, where you at? I'm looking for a Hannah that says it don't matter what song they sing, it don't matter what the beat is, I gotta give it praise, I gotta give it glory.
What do you think about Jesus?
my radical praises at? We gonna help you right now. Where's my radical people at? Come on, radical people, make some noise right now. I need my radical people to find somebody that's not radical. Y'all fixing to hate me, but it'll be all right. You'll love me later. I need y'all's help now. Find you somebody that's not radical and just get them by the hand. You ain't got to shake them real hard, but just shake them a little bit and ask them, has God been good to you? Just shake them a little bit and say, hey, has God ever brought you out of anything? Come on, radical people, I need your help. Shake them a little bit and say, has he been good to you? Then if he's been good to you, you ought to give him some kind of praise right now. You ought to give him some kind of praise right now. I know you're dealing with barrenness. I know you're dealing with heartache. I know you're dealing with pain. But at the end of the day, he's still good. And he's still God. And he's still worthy. Like I said, I know y'all gonna hate me, but you take them and you praise with them, and you shout until what's on you gets on them. Shout until the victory you got gets on them. Shout until the glory you got gets on them.
Whatever you're going through, God will deliver you. But in the meantime, praise you him.
You ought to praise,
praise him. Praise him.
Somebody praise him. Joy. When I think about Jesus, what he does for me.
save me. Buried, carry lies too far away.
Sit it on down.
Lord, let